The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisavei. Beginning of Parshas Kisavei, we have the mitzvah of Bikurim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when you come to the land which I will give to you for inheritance, and you settle the land, you conquer the nations that are there and you settle it. From here we learn that this mitzvah of Bikurim that the Torah is going to tell us of the first fruits, this is in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but only after the land was conquered and settled. Is called Priya Doma, and you shall take from your first fruits, Ashatovi Me'atzecho, from the land which Hashem will give you. You bring it in a basket, and you shall go to the place which I have chosen to make my name dwell. You shall go to the base of English. From the fact that it states Me'atzecho, so from here we learn that you shall take not from all of the fruits, but only from the seven fruits, from the seven agricultural products, which Eretz Yisrael is praised because of. And that was in Parshas Ekev. What are those seven? That's Chitinu Se'orim, wheat and barley. Actually, the wheat and barley also included the oats, rye, and spelt, which were part of the wheat and barley family. Andovi Muta'enim. These are the grapes, the wine, the enimix. Rimonim, the pomegranates, zeisim, the olives, the olive oil, the tamarim. The tamarim are the dates. And how much must you take? The Torah does not give us any amount, so therefore you can take as little as you want. The Chachomim enacted amount of 1/60th, which is a little more than, a little less than 2%. And what do you do with it? You bring it to the Beis HaMikdosh. Uvos el HaKohen. And you come to the Kohanim. This is a mitzvah of the Matis Kohuna. What you give, you must give these fruits, these first fruits, to the Kohanim. And this was a mitzvah dafke only on the first fruits. And what is the Kohanim? What do the Kohanim do with it? The priests, it was theirs. Because Ein Lam Chelek V'Nachlo, these are from the gifts that one is obligated to give to the Kohanim. There were 24 different such gifts because he doesn't have any inheritance or any land in Eretz Yisrael. And these must be eaten in Yerushalayim. They can be eaten anywhere in the city. Then, there's another mitzvah that is in conjunction with this. Vonisa v'amalto. You shall say. Now the word oniso means to answer. So Rashi tells us, Loshna Harobas Kol. You shall lift up your voice. And while you're giving these fruits and while you have them, you must praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the mitzvah of what is known as Vidui. Vidui Bikuri. V'amata livnei Hashem alakechu. And how should you praise Hashem? So you should say, Arami Evir Ovi. That the Arami, who this refers to Lovam, Lovan, the father of Rachel and Leah, the father-in-law of Yaakov. He destroyed Yaakov. He attempted many times to destroy Yaakov. The Torah considers that he destroyed him because it states that Machshava Kimaisa, that since he wanted to, so the Torah gives him credit for doing so. So he destroyed our father Yaakov. Then our father Yaakov went down to Egypt, and he went with a very, very small amount of people. It was just 70 people. And there he became a great and mighty and powerful nation made up of 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60, but actually altogether the entire populace was millions and millions of people. And the Egyptians were cruel to us. And they afflicted us. Again, we were challenged. Again, we were in crisis because they made us slaves. Nitzakel Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, and we cried out to Hashem, the God of our fathers. Yishma Hashem es koleinu, and Hashem listened to our voice. Yad Yonenu v'samoleinu v'slachaseinu, and he saw all of this affliction. V'yitzi'inu Hashem v'mitzrayim, and Hashem took us out of Egypt. V'yot chazokim z'rei netuyim v'mayagod v'aisis v'maisi. He took us out of Egypt with all types of great wonders and miracles, like we all are familiar with, the 10 plagues, the Makkas Becheres, the smiting of the firstborn, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. And he brought us to this place. And he gave us this land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And now, now I am bringing the first fruits from the land which you have given to me. And he shall place this before Hashem. In other words, we speak to Hashem, and we recall that Yaakov was just about totally destroyed by Laban. And then again, he had to go into a strange land where he was a foreigner, he was exiled with just a handful of people. And then again, he was almost destroyed by the Egyptians. And they afflicted him in all types of afflictions, and they enslaved us. And still we grew into a great and mighty nation. And still we were freed from Egypt, and with all types of miracles that the whole world saw. That Shomo Amim Yirgozu, all of the nations heard. And even more so, Dayenu, that would have been enough, but even more so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the most beautiful land in the world. A land that is so fertile, that is flowing with milk and honey. And therefore, I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on all of this, and I bring him the first fruits. And then the Torah tells us, V'samachto b'chol hatov, you shall rejoice in all of this goodness. Hashem Hashem v'esecho, you shall rejoice in all of this goodness which Hashem has given to you and your household. Atov v'alevi v'ager Hashem v'kibercho. You and the Levi, and the stranger which is amongst you. And from here we learn that when is the time that one is obligated to bring the Bikurim? That's in a time of Simcha, when he's rejoicing. And when is that? That's when a person is gathering in all of his fruits. That's between Minhatzeres Arachag, between Shavuos and Sukkos. Between Shavuos and Sukkos, this is the time of the harvesting of the wheat and of the barley, and this is the time of the harvesting of the fruits and of the vine, the olives. Then is the mitzvah of Bikurim, and is the mitzvah to bring the Bikurim and to say this praise. If a person brings afterwards, if he brings it from Sukkot to Hanukkah, then he brings the Bikurim, but he does not say this praise, because it's no longer the time of the main rejoicing of the ingathering. This is the Parsha. This has to do with this mitzvah Bikurim and a few of the halachos, a few of the laws concerning this. Now, we are referring here to the seven types of crops which Eretz Yisrael is praised with. We can break them down into three categories. The first category is chitin usa'orin, wheat and barley. That's a category of food which man must have. Torah tells us is lechem yisod levad enosh. It is bread which keeps man alive. That's the staff of life. That's the foundation which gives him strength. So man must have bread, and bread comes from wheat and barley. So the wheat and barley is what you would call mukhrach. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to man, because from bread, from the wheat and barley, comes his life. That's the first category. Iker Chiyus HaOdom. If he didn't have that, he wouldn't be able to live. He would be enormously lacking. Then we have a second category, and that's the Yain and the Zesim, the wine and the olives. The Torah tells us that wine and olives is something which is very necessary for him. He could live without it. If he didn't have wine and if he didn't have olives, he'd manage. But it's very necessary for man's totality, for his total health. For states, for example, it states Yain Yisamach Levav Enosh. Wine makes the person rejoice. Wine brings happiness to the person, cheers him up. It says Le Nivra Yain Ela L'Sameach Esva Aleilim. One of the main reasons why wine was created, to bring happiness to the mourners or to those who are depressed. Man must have cheerfulness. So therefore, wine is something which is very, very necessary for man. Zesim, olives, on that it states, Shemen Tatsil. That from the olive we get the olive oil. This oil brings light. It brings the physical light. For example, it was used all the time to as a fuel. But also states it brings light to man. Man eats the oil, or if he uses the oil to anoint himself with. So it's very, very good for the skin. And the Chazal, many places, praise the powers of olive oil, which was so plentiful in Eretz Yisrael in those days. All of these crops are the crops of which Eretz Yisrael was famous for. So the second category is something which if we didn't have, we would manage, we would live, but our life wouldn't be so full. It would be lacking. So this is what is known as a milo. It's an extra attribute if we have it. And life is much better with it than without it. But on the other hand, it's not as necessary as the wheat. Then we come to a third category. And that's the peiros ha'ilan. It's the fruits of the tree. That's the other four things that I mentioned here. The other three that I mentioned. The te'enim, the remainim, and tamorim, the figs, and the dates, and the pomegranates. Now, what are the purposes of the fruits? So the sages tell us, it's nechal etainuk. Fruits is something which is eaten for enjoyment. This is the main purpose of fruits. If you notice, according to the viewpoint of the sages, and you see this still commonly practiced, fruits are not eaten together with the meal. They're either eaten before the meal, or they're eaten after the meal, or they're eaten in between meals. But they're not eaten together with meals. And they just tell us why, because it's not part of the meal. A meal is something which gives strength to the person, which gives panoso to the person, gives him it sustains him. Well, the fruit is not something which sustains him, but rather the fruit is eaten. It's eaten at the between meals if a person wants just a little, a good taste, a snack. It's eaten before the meal if he wants something as an appetizer. It's eaten at the end of the meal. The Gemara brings Mishum Mesikus, because a person likes something sweet at the end of the meal. And the fruits, especially these fruits, the dates and the figs, were very, very sweet. So the main purpose of these fruits were nechal l'tayim, for the pleasure of the person. So here's something which is not, it's not mukhrach, it's not imperative. And not only that, it's not something that a person needs, like the wine and the oil, but it's something which is purely given for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. Naturally, then, it makes life more fuller. If you serve a meal of only what you need, well, maybe it would be just as nourishing, but you wouldn't be so happy with it. Unless you have something also, even if you don't need it so much, something that adds taste and pleasure. Now, what do we see from this, though? See, what can we learn? We learn a great thing from here. We learn, it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, created all of this. Not only he created all of this, he created it in Eretz Yisrael. As we mentioned, Eretz Yisrael was famous. When the Torah praises Eretz Yisrael and Parshas Ekev, so it praises the fruits of Eretz Yisrael and it praises these seven fruits. Now why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create this? And yet even in Eretz Yisrael. From here we see it states, I'm making Mosin Lachol Miyaisav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives panosa to everyone. He gives sustenance to everyone. Tev Lashem Lakol. He's good to everyone. From here we see the enormous chesed, the loving kindness of Hashem. Because it would have been sufficient to create wheat and barley. Sufficient. We'd live with it. Now, he added a second category of wine and of olives, olive oil, in order to make our lives fuller. And that would have been sufficient then. Now he created additional products, agricultural products. Even though there's not too much direct benefit from it, well, naturally there is benefit. But his main motive is to give people, to give his creations enjoyment. When they eat a meal, it's totally, it's full of nourishment, but they should have something to eat at the end, or something to eat at the beginning, which is basically for enjoyment and taste. So from here we see the greatness of the chesed of Hashem. But he wasn't merely interested to sustain the creations, but he was interested in sustaining the creations with everything they need and give them extra also just to make them happy. This is what it states, Am Chalkil Chayim B'Chesed. Kodesh Baruch Hu sustains people with chesed. Not only does he give them exactly what they need, he gives them things also which they can get along without, but they'll be happier with. Now, when it comes to the mitzvah of Bikurim, of the first fruits, and we see we bring from all of these, from the first category, from the second category, from the third category, there's another insight. There's another uniqueness in Bikurim that we don't find in other places, in the first fruits. And that is, the sages tell us, what is the uniqueness of first fruits? States of Odom Misabe Libikurim. A person has a special desire for the first fruits. Why? Because he hasn't eaten these fruits the whole year. It's a pre-chodosh, it's a new fruit. When you're eating grapes the whole year, eventually you become a little tired of the grapes. But even if it's still good, but you're eating it all of the time. The same thing with the figs, the same thing with the dates, same thing with all fruits. Because I'll say always, a tainuk to me is eino tainuk, an enjoyment that one has all of the time, then he loses the tam, he loses the taste of that enjoyment. But the new fruits means that you've gone an entire season without eating them. And now for the first time, they are ripening and they're becoming ready to eat again. This adds additional simchas. Where do we see this? We see this in Gemara. The Gemara says that if you eat a pre-chodesh, you chayv levorach shechayonam. Person eats a new fruit, he has to make a bracha shechayonam, v'kimona v'giyona lasmanazeh. Why? Because that's the birchas hasimcha, the bracha we make when there's a simcha yaseira and ekstischa. And when you eat fruits all of the time, you don't have that simcha. But when you eat a new fruit, then you have that simcha. So this is a uniqueness that Bikurim, that the first fruits have, that the second and the third and the fourth fruits do not have. So the fact that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave people Bikurim, new fruits now, this represents even an additional time, an additional enjoyment. That not only are they the fruits
which bring in these categories that we mentioned, but they're the first of the fruits. And on that, a person has a particular desire for it, a particular appetite for it. And therefore, it's a taste for simcha. It's an additional simcha. Now, in this mitzvah of bikurim, we find two great aspects. One is chesed, which we'll talk about now. The other we'll speak a little later about. The Almighty gave man the first fruits. And the motive was what we said. He wanted to sustain man. He wanted to give him a full life. He wanted to give him enjoyment. And even the first fruits, the special enjoyment. At the same time, he obligated man to share these first fruits with someone who didn't have them, with the Kohanim, Shein Lehem Nachlo. The Kohen doesn't have any inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, you must take Velakachto, you must take Meiresh is called Pri Adomo. You must take from the first fruits and share it and give some to the Kohanim. So we see there HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to enjoy and have all of this simcha with additional simchas, but at the same time you must share, you must give from that simcha to others also. This is one great principle that we see in Bikurim, that the joys that Hashem gave to you, from the best of the joys, because a person could say, look, I'll give away, but why do I have to give my first fruits? The first is the best, we said. I'll give from the second, I'll give from the third. Why from the first? So we see here the great obligation of chesed. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, and he might say, look, what do I have to give him from my wine for? Or from my olives? Or why do I have to give him from the best fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Let me give him the secondary fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe why do I have to give him from the wheat and from the wheat and the barley? Because from there such important foods come, and so forth and so on. No, here we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, from the best of the fruits, from the best of Eretz Yisrael, from all of the fruits that cover all of these categories that I am giving you, and from the first fruits that I am giving you, but I want you also, you must give them away to someone who doesn't have them. So here we see the obligation of chesed. We'll go into it a little more, but we see chesed is giving not from the secondary, not from the third, but from the best that you have. You must share. Now there's a medrash that states as follows, which will illustrate this point clearer. It's a medrash in Breishis, Rabba Perek Aleph, at the beginning of the Sefer Torah. It states, Breishis bore the kimeis ha-shomayim ve-oretz. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. So the Medrash says, it uses the word Breishis. Breishis means first, in the beginning, first. Medrash says that in three other places it chooses, there are many, but in three other places it chooses, that we find also this word is used, Breishis. And in the Matnes Kohuna, in the gifts that we are obligated to give the Kohen or the Levi, by challah. Challah was the mitzvah that when you bake, when you take your grains and you grind it, you grind it into flour, and then you take the flour and mix it with water and make dough, and you're going to bake the challah now. So now from that challah, from that bread, you must give the first part of that bread you must give to the Kohen. And there it states, Reishis Arisasecham, the first of your dough. So there it says, Reishis, just like Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created the world. Then there's another mitzvah, a Meiser, 10% of your Digoncho Sireishko Yitzorecho, 10% of your grains, of your wines, and of your olives. Olive oil at the time of the harvesting of them, and you bring in, you have to give to the Levi, because Ein Lo Chelek V'Nachlo, he has no inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. This was Meiser. So there it says Reishis Digoncho, the first. Again it says the first,
And then by Bikurim it says Mereshis Pri Adam. So the Medrash says, therefore we can learn that Bishkus Gimel Dvorim Nivroi, the world was created in the Shkus, in the merit of three mitzvahs. And what were those three mitzvahs? Bishkus Chala, Bishkus Bikurim. The merit of the mitzvah of Chala, the mitzvah of Meiser, and the mitzvah of Bikurim. The world was created in the merit of these three mitzvahs. Because by the world it states Bereshis, and by these three mitzvahs it states Bereshis. Now, what is the interpretation of this? So the Maral explains. This Maral is brought in Ovis, Perikei Mishneh Ches. Firstly, Challah. Challah falls into the first category. Because Challah is the bread. And bread, this is the basic life-sustaining power to man. But Challah is even more. It's more. Why? Because the goncho, your crops, your chitin usorim, that cannot sustain man. If you give a person some wheat, or you give him some barley, it can sustain an animal. See, an animal will gladly eat the wheat and they'll eat the barley and they'll be very happy with it. But if man eats wheat, he'll eat wheat. Wheat is edible. The Moran Masechta Brochas goes into the shaila, what kind of brocha do you make when you eat wheat? It's edible. But you won't get too far out of it. You won't be too happy with it, or barley. That's why it states lechem. You said levaventish. Lechem, you said. Bread is what stains a person. Actually, the bread has to come from the wheat. But there's a whole reason for that. The animal food was unprepared by man. You cut the grain and the animal will be very happy with it. But man's food already has to be prepared, especially that what is life-giving to man. That has to be prepared by man. That's what it states. Who? Maybe, vehi mechenes. He brings it and she prepares it. But it must be prepared. So it has to be baked into bread. That's why we always find and never states that chitin yisod, it states lechem yisod. So here the Torah is going even a step further, saying that when you bring in your grains and you make your bread, now from this bread you must give to the Kohen. You must give him the final product, which is actually what's life sustaining. Alright, that's one mitzvah. And that is what is absolutely necessary for life. The Torah obligated you, required you to give. Give of your own. Share it with him. Then we have the mitzvah of Meiser. Now Meiser encompassed the goncho sireish kvitzarecho. Not only did it encompass the grains, but also the wines and also the olives. And this was to be given to the Levi. So here now the Torah was mechayev you, the Torah obligated you, that you must give to the Levi not only what is absolutely necessary, but you give him to make his life fuller also. You give him wine from your wine, and you give him from your oil, in order that he could have wine lesimcha, wine for rejoicing, and shemen tatzil, an oil which makes a person's face, brings light to the person. So that was a second gift which already went into the areas which were etesh v'shesed. The Torah is here saying, do more chesed. The third mitzvah was bikurim. Bikurim is already an additional level of chesed. See, not only do you give him the grapes, but you also give him the fruits. Not only do you give him the wine and the oil, but you also give him the fruits. And not only do you give him all of these, but you give him the first. By Bikurim was a special mitzvah, the first fruits. First agricultural products that came up that year. Because there's a special enjoyment for the person. We learn from here how a person has to do chesed. See, many times, every Jew knows he has to give tzedakah. He has to give charity. When you give tzedakah, when you give to those who are less fortunate, You must take care of their basic requirements. You must give them bread to eat. You must give them clothing to wear. But what about secondary requirements? You're obligated to give them wine to drink. If they have what to eat, do they need wine also? What about further requirements? Something which is not even that important, they can live without. It's just to give them something for tainuk, something for enjoyment. There many people think, look, if you have the money, spend it on that. If you don't, I'm not obligated to see that someone else has that. What about something as special as the first fruits? The first fruits come out, they're usually very expensive. There's a great market for it. Why am I obligated to see that someone else has that? Here we learn a great lesson in chesed. Because our chesed must emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. It states, V'halachta bidrocho, we must walk in his ways. And we see that when he does chesed at all levels. That what a person must have, what is required, what is not so required, what is not required at all. But if it can make someone happy, and it brings more enjoyment in his life, then we must, it's a mitzvah to give him. And not only was it a mitzvah to give him, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a requirement to give him. And this was these requirements. When it came to give challah to the Kohen, this was an obligation. We weren't allowed to, when it came to these matonos, these gifts, many of them we weren't allowed to eat ourselves until it was given. Or separated. When it came to give the wines and the oil, that was an obligation from the Maaser. And when it came to give from the fruits and the first fruits, this was an obligation. Now, why does it say that in the merit of these three mitzvahs the world was created for? And this Maral explains as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order that he could lehetiv im habriyos. In order that, what did he need the world for? He needed the world only for one purpose. He wanted to do good for his creations. This is why he created the world. Olam chesed yibone. So it states, a world of loving kindliness will be built. He created the world in order that he could give to his creations. All of the great, wonderful things that he has to give, be it physical or spiritual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, however, chesed. He does chesed with geimle chasod, with those who do chesed. It states that the chesed that people do, that brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed to the world. If people do chesed, then this brings Hashem's chesed into the world. If people will not do chesed, then he will not do chesed to the world. It says the chesed of the Olam HaTachton is ma'ere the chesed from the Olam HaElyon. Therefore, and that's why it states that chesed is ha'olam omed, ala chesed. One of the pillars that the world stands on is chesed. Chesed that people do, bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed into the world. Because he does chesed to those who in return do chesed. If people refuse to do chesed, then he doesn't bring chesed into the world. This is why it's brought in the Mishnah of Ovis. In this Mishnah, what I quoted, which I quoted, is that when people refuse to give the challah, but to give the maaser, so rov bala ilum, famine and drought come to the world. Heaven forbid. The way to close off the tap of the chesed of Hashem, the chesed elyon, is by stop doing chesed yourself. And when that happens, then rov, famine comes to the world. This is
what the Mishnah states. The way to turn on the tap, to bring chesed into the world, is by doing chesed yourself. So therefore, if these mitzvahs are kept, and these three mitzvahs encompass all of the levels of chesed, as we explained, if they are kept, then they bring Hashem's chesed into the world. And this was the purpose He created the world, so He could do good with it. So therefore, these three mitzvahs bring creation to the world. That's why it states, B'shus ha-gimel dvorim, in the schus of these three mitzvahs, in the schus of chalo, in the schus of the mitzvah maisha, in the schus of the mitzvah bikurim, nivra ha-eilam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He would not have created the world that there was no chesed in the world, because that was a world that He couldn't work with. So there had to be a chesed in the world. So you have to build in the world mitzvahs that would encompass all levels of chesed in order to bring the Almighty to do all levels of chesed to the world. And that was the creation. Therefore, b'shus gimel dvorim, and the schus of these three mitzvahs, nivra eilam, the world was created. Breishis bor lakim, it states in the beginning, and by these three mitzvahs it states in the beginning. Now, from this that we've said, what can we learn? Firstly, we will learn to recognize the chesed of the Almighty. The chesed of the Almighty is that He's mechalkel chayim. He sustains people not at a primitive level of primitive sustenance, but He sustains people at all levels. Where they have their grains, and they have their bread, they have their wines and their oils and their fruits and their bikurim, their first fruits. So He's interested in doing chesed with people, not only at imperative levels, but even at levels which are not necessary. Not necessary at all. But if they bring enjoyment to man, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do. So from here we recognize the great chesed of the Almighty. That's A. B, a second principle we learn from here, is that He required this chesed from us. This same chesed He required from us. This means that the concept, the ideology, is that when you take care of yourself and your family, then you must have the best of the breads and the best of the meats, and the best of the wines, and the best of the fruits, and so forth. But when you give stokah, when you help out your neighbor, that's a different level. He doesn't need the best, he can have second best, he can have third best, doesn't need everything. He can give enough to survive on. That's totally false, as we see from here. Not only is it false, it's dangerous. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed with the world in accordance how they do chesed with others. Specifically with Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael, He obligated in 613 mitzvahs. The rest of the world, He only obligated in 7 mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael is the leader in this. So the chesed of Hashem to the world basically depends on the chesed of Eretz Yisrael to their brethren. I maybe you'll say, but where do we find such a thing that you have to take care of your neighbor in such a way? Here we find it. We find it here by the mitzvah of challah, we find it here by the mitzvah of meiser, we find it here by the mitzvah of bikurim. That the Torah was, this is something we have to repeat over and over, that the Torah was obligated you to give, even from the wines, and even from the oils, and even from the fruits, and even from the first fruits. Man could say, the first fruits I'll keep for myself and family. The crane, I'll give the second fruits. No, Meireshis called Priyadom. Man could say, I'll give him fruits which are not the famous fruits of Eretz Yisrael, which famous means that it was world renowned. These fruits, when Eretz Yisrael was in its perfection, these fruits were world renowned. There were no pomegranates, and there were no dates, and there were no figs in the world that could compare with Eretz Yisrael figs and dates, or wine. Okay? So man could say, Eretz Yisrael, wine I'll keep for myself.
I'll give him a bottle of wine that comes from a different place. But I'll give him, do I have to give him the best? Yes. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, then from this you must give him also. And this causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give more also. These are the two principles that we learn. So we see from here that there's a great instruction, a great lesson, a great instruction in the midst of chesed, in the midst of bikurim. Both in the chesed ha'elyon and the chesed ha'elyon, the chesed of Hashem and the chesed ha'tachtein and the chesed of man. See, what we are supposed to do. That's one aspect of the mitzvahs. We mentioned there were two aspects. This is one aspect. Actually, let me repeat a story that the Gemara brings, which we mentioned not long ago on a Shabbos. The Gemara in Ksubos brings that there was one of the Tanoim, a very righteous person. He used to send stoker, he used to send money to a poor man in his neighborhood. And every Erev Yom Kippur, I believe the case was, when he used to send it. And he sent it with his son. One day the son comes to bring him the money. And before he came into the house, he happened to see through the window that he was sitting down to eat this man. This man was eating. And he had on his table the best wines. So he went back to the father and he says, you know, I don't think that everything is so proper here, because here you're sending them money in order to help him make a living. And meanwhile, he's spending it, or he's using it on the best wines. So he said, Mifuna Kuli Hai. He says, I didn't realize that he was such a sophisticated connoisseur. And he doubled the money. See? From then on, he doubled the amount he gave him. Because he said, you have to give. He wanted to give him enjoyment. If he enjoys such good wines, then he needs even more money. Now there's a second aspect to this mitzvah. And that is the mikra bikurim. The Torah tells us that when you bring from the first fruits and you share it with the kohen, it states you have to be made Hashem. You have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And be per mole. Harom is kol. With a full mouth. Be aniso, be amato. You should answer and say. Now why do we find here, this is a mitzvah we do not find in other places. Mikra bikurim, it's called. Chayim lizvah, this is a mitzvah, as I say, positive commandment. We do not find this in other places. When you give your truma, when you give your challah, give your meister, all the other gifts that you were giving. We do not find this. We find this here by Bikurim. Why do we find it here? Now, the main essence of Heidor means to praise and to thank. Is when a person receives something which is extra. And everything we receive, a person must say thank you. Everything. From the smallest to the greatest. Anybody does anything for you, you must be very, very careful to say thank you. Otherwise, it is known as coffee table. Person doesn't recognize good that's done to him. He's not appreciative. And from the greatest attributes that a person can have is to be appreciative. So on everything a person must say thank you. On everything he must give recognition. Especially if it comes from Hashem. Fact is, the Gemara says, "Kol anashoma tehal lel kol." That you should praise Hashem with your entire neshama. What does it mean with your entire neshama? So it states, I'll call neshima uneshima. On every breath. See, the neshama, the Hebrew word of neshama, and the Hebrew word of breath, neshima, is the same.
because the neshama came into the body through a breath. It states, Vayipach ba'apav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew his spirit into man. He blew it in. So the soul came into the body with a breath. That's why we find that the soul leaves the body with the last breath. Person stops breathing, the soul departs. And he stops breathing with his nose. Because it states, Vayipach ba'apav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew the spirit into man through his nose, and it goes out there. This is the relationship between neshama and neshima. Neshima means a breath. So what does it mean? Kol haneshama tehalel ko? That you shall praise Hashem with your entire soul, with every breath. What does this mean? That actually a person is obligated to say thank you for every breath he takes, every breath of air. Now that's the first category. That's hechter. That's something. That's imperative. If man didn't have air, he couldn't live. So we're obligated to say thank you on everything. Nevertheless, though, we find that the main hodah, in accordance to the nature of man, according to the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man, the main hodah, now hodah is a praise. Hodah is a praise with haramas kol. A public praise, where you publicly praise Hashem. That's like hallel. A person says hallel. Or shira, he sings. That hodah is always found not when the person receives something which he needs or he expects, but when he receives something above that. See, beyond that. When a person gets something which he does not expect, and it was not what he was not the basic requirement. But when it's something which is above and beyond the basic requirement, something unexpected, there we find that's when man has a nature to praise and to say thank you, Baharama's call, with a full mouth. Where do we see this? Where's the source of this? The source of this is Balea. It states in Parsha, we've brought this many times, it states in Parsha Vayetze. Leah had one son. What did she name him? She named him Reuben. Because Ro Hashem Ba'oni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw my affliction. She had a second son. She named him Shimon. Shema Hashem, Kisonu Anaychi, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard I was afflicted. She had a third son. Atavapam Yilove Ishi. Now I've had a third son. Now for sure Yaakov will love me at least as much as he loves Rachel. Why? Because they knew, they were Neviyot, they were prophetess, and they knew that Yaakov was to have 12 sons, and they would be divided from 4 wives. So now I've had my equal share, 3. So there can't be any complaints. So now Yaakov will love me as much as Rochel. Then it states, Vatara, she had a fourth son. Vatemar, Hapam Eides Hashem. Now I will praise Hashem. Why? In Al-Kain Karoshma Yehuda. And therefore she called his name Yehuda. Yehuda means praise. Yehuda's name was from the word Heidel Hashem. See, the word Hodu is in Yehuda, and the word Hashem is in Yehuda. And Yehuda's name is to praise Hashem. Why did she name Yehuda to praise Hashem? Because she said, now, Pam, this time, Odes Hashem, I will praise Hashem. Now why the first time she didn't praise Hashem? Second time she didn't. Third time she didn't. And the fourth time she did. So Rashi brings, he says, Shenatalti yeshe mechelki, me'ato yeshli lahaydes. Now I've taken more than, now Hashem has given me more than my rightful portion. I had a right to 3 sons, because there were 4 wives, there were going to be 12 sons, so I have had a right to 3 sons. Look, even if you have a right to it, you have to say thank you, if it's given to you. So she said thank you, each time she said thank you. But now that he's given me 4 sons, not halti yeshe mechelki, he's given me more than I have a right to. Given me extra, Then Hapam Eides Hashem. Now I must praise Hashem. And this is the praise of Hodu. This is the Halal. Hodu Lashem Kitov. The Hodu Lashem Kitov is called the Halal HaGodl, the tefillah of which we say all of the Hodus, it's referred to as the Halal HaGodl. This is Hodu. This is a full praise. So what do we see from here? A person must say thank you and he must appreciate everything that's done for him, no matter how small it is. He must never feel he has it coming. What do you mean he has it coming? So therefore he must say thank you. But the nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to man was that when he gets something that he doesn't have coming, when he gets something extra, beyond the call of duty, then that stirs an extra joy in man, which results and manifests itself in Haromas Kol V'Yoniso V'Yomato. Haromas Kol, where he wants to lift his voice in public praise. And this we see by Leah, Hapam Heidu. Now I publicly will pray. She publicly prays because she named Yehuda by that. Yehuda was that symbol. This is where the Hodu comes in. Now we can understand what it's doing by the Bikurim. And Chalo, you give HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives you bread. You must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fact is, that's the Birchas HaMozen. HaMeichin Mozen Lechol B'riya Yisuf. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yachalta V'yisavota V'yirachta. But bread, He must give us. If we don't have bread, we die. He gives us wine. He gives us olives. But that's still a necessity. Now we could live without it, but it's a necessity. But when he gives us Bikurim, Bikurim encompasses all types of fruits. These fruits we don't need. They're not a necessity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to us for extra. After he's given us everything we need, he gives us something extra to give us a taste for tainug, more enjoyment of life. He doesn't only want us to live here. He wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't only want us to eat the meal. He wants us to enjoy the meal. So he throws it in. See? Like a good hostess, like a good balabosta. That she'll give the person everything he needs to eat. And then she brings in all kind of other things that he should enjoy the meal. And the bikurim yet. The bikurim, the special tainug of the first fruits. So then when a person realizes that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me, so then it obligates Heidor. It obligates Heidor, Mikra Bikurim. But it's important to understand the converse. For us to really appreciate the Bikurim from Eretz Yisrael, and these are Eretz Yisrael was the Kodesh Mikol Arotzes. It was more sanctified than all of the lands. And it was more beautiful than all of the lands. And it was more fertile than all of the lands. It states that it put Egypt to shame. And Egypt was Kigar Hashem, was the garden of Hashem. So these fruits in Eretz Yisrael were world famous, as we mentioned. These vines were world famous. So what is the Heidor? The Heidor is that first of all, Yaakov, our father, was destroyed by Lot. Aseres Malnim. 10 times, the Chazal Dashans, 100 times he tried to deceive him. Then we were exiled to Egypt, and we were strangers in a land that was not ours, and a small amount of people. Then we were made into slaves, and then we were afflicted, and we were persecuted, and we were killed. And still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of the deepest dungeons of Egypt. And he made us into a great and mighty nation. And he made all kind of miracles for us. In other words, this was the Gemel Chasodim. And not only that, but not only did he take us to our own land, and not only did he give us eighth land, he gave us best land in the world, which produces the most luscious fruits of the world. So then we are Nisa. Now, you have given me so much that was not even necessary. Therefore, a person has to respond with Heido. And therefore, here by Bikurim, we find this unique mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, Vaniso, Ve'amalta, the Kolderon, that we have to praise Hashem on everything that He's given us, not only the pleasure, but all of the tosfos, the additional and additional pleasures and simchas that He has given us. Incidentally, this quality of Hedor we find by Yehuda. Yehuda was born into it, and he was given this name, and this was emblazed on his soul and personality. Chazal always tell us, what was Yehuda mean? Yehuda is the one who praises Hashem. He's the one who set aside to praise Hashem befarhesia, publicly. We have many such cases. Just to mention one, it was his descendant Nachshon ben Amidonav that jumped into the Red Sea when nobody wanted to go in. It was a raging sea, and the Egyptians were coming down from behind. And he jumped in and he cried out publicly, Hashem Yimloch Le'alam Va'ed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever and ever. So this was the quality of Yehuda. Now there's someone else that we find. There's someone else that we find that was prominent, extraordinarily prominent in praising Hashem. Not only extraordinarily, but the most prominent personality that we have to praise Hashem. And that was David HaMelech. There was no one that said Shira to Hashem like David HaMelech. The fact is, the Medrash in Yalkut Shemini in Seder Rus says, why was she called Rus? But her real name wasn't Rus, but she was called Rus. Why was she called Rus? Sharova, from the word Yirvoyun. Rova means to overflow. Yirvoyun means something which is very lush. See, very lush and moist. If you have a good fruit that's lush and moist, or a good pasture. She gave birth to the son that is going to overflow with Shira. This is why she was called Ruth, from the word Rover, Gan Rover, an overflowing, fertile, and luscious, irrigated garden. More brings him brochas. Oh, all right. It's in the Yalkut Shemini also. Now, this was David. Now, why did it happen that David was like this? David was from Yehuda. David is the descendant of Yehuda. But why is it? And David had a special milah. The Maral brings us in a place. David was given something extra. As we said, this is a response to something extra given to the person. What was David given extra? He was given the Madreg of Malchus. Not everyone can become a king. If somebody is a is given citizenship, I'm very happy. Person, during Khalilah, during the Second World War, you know what it was to be given, to be granted citizenship. In times of peace, it's the nature of man that he doesn't recognize anything until he needs it. In time of peace, you don't need it. But in time of Khalilah war, a citizenship meant the difference between life and death. Citizenship papers. So a person is made a citizen of a country, he's happy. Doesn't have to be made the mayor, but to be made the king. And not only was David made the king, he was made the king of Klal Yisrael. Ir Yushalayim, Yushalayim is Yushal David. But not only was he made the king of Klal Yisrael, but he was given the kingship forever. Because Baruch Hu said that after Shaul, I have chosen David forever. And only the descendants of David HaMelech can sit on the throne of Klal Yisrael. See, he was given this extra bailo of Malchus, Malchus of Yisrael. And therefore, he was always responding, always praising. And there was no one that could say Shira. And Haido, in all of Yisrael, like David. This explains to us a Gemara. Perhaps you can bring me a Gemara of Psochim, please. We brought this Gemara in the past, but this explains the Gemara. Gemara brings him Sochin and Kufyu Tess on the base. Gemara says, states Vayigdal Ayelet Vayigomal, that Avraham made a big party when Yitzchok was weaned. So the Gemara dashes that this doesn't only refer to then, but this refers also to Osi Lovan. In the world to come, Osi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasi Suda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a big party, a big banquet, L'tzadikim, for the Tzadikim, B'yom Shigomal, Chazdoi L'Zarei Shel Yitzchok, when he'll be able to give. Gomal also means to give. When he'll be able to give chesed to Yitzchok's children. Just like Avraham made a big party for Yitzchok, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to make a big banquet for the children of Yitzchok, for all of his righteous. And it'll be a wonderful banquet, okay, with everything good to eat. You can imagine, if on this world, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. So you can imagine what will be on the next world. It won't necessarily be physical, but it'll be the equivalent. After everybody finishes eating and drinking, it'll come to the benching. So, the discussion, who should lead the benching? Who do you give the cup of wine to? The bench. So, naturally, Avraham. Avraham is the oldest. So, nice, Leila Avraham Avinu Keshel Brocha. So, they'll hand the Keshel Brocha, the benching cup of wine, to Avraham. Mevorech. And they'll tell him he should bench. So Avraham says, no, it's not for me, because she many Yishmael. I gave birth, even though I gave birth to a Yitzchok, but I gave birth to a Yishmael also. So Avraham disqualifies himself. So now they go to Yitzchok. Tuluberach. Tell Yitzchok, take the cup and bench. He says, it's not for me. She many Yishmael. Because even though I gave birth to Yaakov, but I gave birth to an Esav also. So now they go to Yaakov, to Berach. He says, no, I can't bench, because I married two sisters. And even though at the time I married the two sisters, Rachel and Leah, this was before the Torah was given, and I didn't do anything wrong, but still, later on the Torah came and prohibited the marriage of two sisters. So therefore, it's not right that I should bench at such a Suda. So they go to Mesha. Mesha says, no. He says, it's not right. I should bench at Tzetzes Suda, because I was never zecher to go into Eretz Yisrael. I didn't have the schus to be able to go into the great Eretz Yisrael, not during my life and not even after my life. Meshe was not even buried in Eretz Yisrael. He was buried in the desert. All right. So they go to Yeshua. Yeshua says, no, it's not for me, because I never had a son. Yeshua had daughters, but not sons. And therefore, he felt it was a shortcoming. And therefore, he says, at such a Suda, you need someone perfect. He says, it's not for me. So, they go to David. David says, Ani Avorech, I will bench. Veli Noel Avorech. And I am the one who's proper to bench. As David wrote in his Tehillim, Kesh Yeshua is Esau, uveshem Hashem Ekro. That the cup of salvation I will lift up, and I will call out to the Shem Hashem. Ekro, I will call, I will say Hodu to the Shem Hashem. So for what do we see from here? That when it comes to giving a brocho, to be mavorech, to praise, David was greater than all. He was greater than all. And the reason, the Maral brings the reason, is very simple. A cup can give forth from its wine only if it's full and overflowing. To give a bracha, you have to be mevorach yourself. Give a bracha to someone else, you have to be a meveirach, a mevurach. You have to be. How can you give forth brachas if you don't have them yourself? And David was full. There was no one that was mevurach like David. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he was mevurach with love. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave him love. He gave him everything, and he gave him Malchus Yisrael. So there was no one that was so mevurach as David. And because he had all of these extra gifts that he was given, the praise just came forth from him like an ever-flowing garden. Gan Rovea. So he said, sure, I'll bench. Velino Ea. See? And this is the Hodu. This is why we have the Sefer Tehillim from David HaMelech. We find there's a Medrash in Vayikra. Vayikra Pei Tes. It states that Pinchas v'Rav Levi v'Rav Yechanan b'Shem v'Rav Nachman. The Galya said, "La'osi lovei, in the world to come, kol ha'karbonis betelim, all sacrifices will be not unnecessary. The korban teida ain't a bottle, but the korban which was brought to give praise to Hashem, when a miracle happened to a person, he brought a sacrifice and he gave praise to Hashem." That will always exist. Kol ha'tfilas betelis. All of the tfilas, all of the prayers, will become bottle. Will be not necessary in the world to come. B'ha'edor ein betelo. But the praises will still be there. So we see in the world to come, all of the sacrifices won't be necessary, and all of the prayers won't be necessary. But the sacrifice which comes to praise Hashem, or the prayers which come to praise Hashem, that will always be there. Now why is this? So the Maral explains. A sacrifice comes to perfect the man. In the world to come, there'll be perfection. So it won't be necessary. Prayers come. What are the tefillahs? The tefillahs come to appeal to Hashem. Tachanunim. Like an ever, the servant that comes to appeal from Hashem, prayers come to appeal from Hashem. That we have to have a refuah shlema, health, we have to have das, knowledge, we have to have panoso. The world to come, there'll be nothing to appeal for. In this world, that this world was short, this is the world, elam achoser, this things that are lacking. So we have to appeal to Hashem to fulfill our what we are lacking. But in the world to come, we'll have everything, so what do we have to appeal to Hashem for? So there won't be any necessity for sacrifices that perfect people, because people will be perfected, or for prayers to appeal to Hashem, because there'll be no appeals necessary. But there's another type of tefillah. Not a tachnunim, but a heidor, a shvach v'heidor, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In prayer, there are two facets. We must always ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for future, and we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the past. Whenever we speak to Hashem, we must constantly thank Him for what He has given us till now, and appeal to Him that He should give us more in the future. The world to come, we won't have to appeal to Him, but there'll be what to thank, and that will be the main praise, because they will have everything. So therefore, todah, appeal always will be. So that's why here, in this mitzvah, which encompasses all of the physical enjoyments of Eretz Yisrael, there we come with per mole, with a full mouth, to thank Hashem. And then finally it states, V'somachte b'chol ha'fev, you shall rejoice with all of the good, asher nosan l'cho Hashem l'kecha, which Hashem gives you. Now from here, we learn another important principle, and that is simcha. Our world is too devoid of simcha. You have people going around, they're sad, they're depressed, they're melancholy. At best, they're not depressed. But someone should go around with joy, say, with simcha. With praising, that you don't find. You don't find it. And in contrast, you should find it more than ever. Because if you speak to your grandfathers and great-grandfathers, what they had, you can wonder, what did they have to be happy about? And if you look at what we have, see, you look at what we have, it's a whole different thing. So the first thing is, if a person, and a person can't say there's not what to be joyful for, because every minute of the day he can find what to be joyful for. And naturally, there are problems. And when there are problems, this world has a power to cover up the joys. But if a person will open his eyes and look, every day of the every minute of the day, he can find what to be joyful of and what to praise Hashem. So here we learn this. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "V'samachta b'chol ha'teva shenosan l'cho Hashem elokecha." First of all, you have to open your eyes and see the good. If you close your eyes and you don't see the good, you can't be happy. You have to open your eyes and see the good in a piece of bread. You have to open your eyes and see the good in wine, in olives, in figs, in dates, in pomegranates. Today we can have a table full of everything, but we eat it with closed eyes. We don't see it before and we don't see it afterwards. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu's telling you, bring this and rejoice in it. Look at it and rejoice in it. So the first thing is to open your eyes to see what you're eating. Open your eyes to see what you have. Secondly, Asher nosan l'cho Hashem elokecha leveisecha. Secondly is open your eyes and ask yourself, where did it come from? See what you have, and see where it came from. It states v'somach. This was a condition in the Bikurim. You must rejoice in it. I didn't give you this to eat as a robot. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't go through all of the trouble to produce these most precious fruits of Eretz Yisrael or whatever we might be speaking about, that you should eat it in a robotic fashion and not even know what you're eating. V'somach. I gave it to you that you shall rejoice in the eating. People that eat without rejoicing in the eating, so they're just throwing back to Hashem what He gave. There's a Gemara that states that if a person sees a new fruit or something delicious, so and he doesn't taste it, that's a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fruits. What did He give them for? To rot in the trees. He gave them for the enjoyment of man. A king gives you a gift and you just leave it there. So the first thing is v'somacht, or you shall see what you're eating and rejoice in it. Secondly, in order to rejoice in it fully, though, you have to see where it came from. It comes, Hashem nosan l'cho Hashem elokecha uleveisecha. Hashem gave it to you and your household. Then you can rejoice. Then there's hodu, because you can thank the source of where it came from. You see the great kindliness of Hashem. Then we see, besides seeing what you're eating and seeing where it came from, it's interesting, this comes only after you share it with the Kohanim or the Levim. The Rambam brings, that the Chazal brings, but the Rambam brings in Hilchos Yontif. He says, V'somachta b'chagecha, man is obligated to rejoice on his Yontif. What does it mean to rejoice on a Yontif? It means to eat and to drink and to buy new clothing and to have a good time. But, he says, to feed also together ha'amlulim, ha'umlolim, the needy. To open your gates and invite into your homes all of the needy people that they may share in the simcha. She'ein simcha mefu'ora yesem yisech. This is a total simcha. He says, but a person who only eats and feeds his family, and buys things for his family, he doesn't let other people come and enjoy it with him, he says, this is not a simcha by Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't consider simcha. There's a difference between a simcha and a selfishness. Those who are given means and wealth, and they use it only for themselves, only from their families, They don't have any rejoicing. They live miserable, miserable lives. We see it. Miserable lives. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that's not a simcha. He calls that, the Rambam calls that simcha kreisa. That's the rejoicing of the stomach. Nothing else. Nothing more. That's not a simcha. That's misery. But it's when a person will eat and drink and rejoice himself and his family and the umlolim and the needy also, as it states, v'hakein, v'alevi, v'ager, v'almona, v'ayosef, the orphan and the widow and everyone else, ein lecha simcha mefu'ora. Jason is there. This is the greatest simcha by Hashem. This is a total simcha. Then a person will see what rejoicing is. When he has something and he can share it with others, then he will be able to rejoice in it. Because it will be a simcha together with chesed. And then he can come to a fourth point of heidor, of praising Hashem. Repair mole, which will bring even more simcha. So there's four conditions brought here. First of all, he has to see what he's doing. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, look, see what you're doing. Besomachta, and rejoice from it. Secondly, you must see where it came from. Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosan Lecha. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave it to you. It adds to the enormous simcha, the chesed of Hashem. Then, you fulfill the mitzvah with it. What was the mitzvah? To take from your best fruits and from your first fruits. Enjoy them, but enjoy them with others, those who need them. And then it will be a total enjoyment. And then if you reach that total enjoyment, you can come to the level of Haidor, of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it. Only when you come to all of this can you thank Hashem. This is why we find it so difficult to thank Hashem, because the thanking of Hashem, the Haidor, is a spilling over of an inner joy. If there's not this inner joy, there cannot be the Hodul Hashem. So these are the conditions that are mentioned here. So we have two great principles that we can learn from the mitzvah of Bikurim, even though we don't have this mitzvah today, but that we can learn. Besides all of the other details we mentioned, but there's two great principles. There's a principle of chesed, that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu does chesed with the world, he's not stingy. He doesn't give with the left hand, he gives with the right hand. He gives more than a person actually needs at every level. And that's how we have to do chesed. And that will even bring more chesed to the world. And that was the mitzvah of Bikurim, that from your best you must give. And then the second mitzvah of we must realize how much we are receiving from Hashem. And then we can come to the mitzvah of V'yamarta, V'yonisa V'yamarta, to sing, to say to Hashem praise, to thank Hashem. Because only a person who is full, who realizes that he's full of so much, can give forth praise for it to Hashem. These are two very important principles that we learn from the mitzvah Bikurim, besides all of the other laws and so forth. And these are very important in a person's life.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.